Today's Mishnah in Masechet Idiot is Perek Gimel, Mishnah Chet, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh on this day of Shivaser B'Tammuz, when Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh was subjected to such tsar. Shlosh Devorim Rabbi Tzadok Mitameh. So up until now, we've had all of those first Mishnayos, six different Mishnayos of the various machlokas of the Chachomim and Rabbi Daisa. And from this point on, we've got stories of fours and threes. So we had, before, previous Mishnah was the four sfeikas of Rabbi Yoshua. Today's Mishnah are the three things that Rabbi Tzadok held were tameh and the Chachomim held were tohar. Now, one very nice way of learning this, not all the Mefarshim agree, but a very nice way of understanding the Mishnah, which many of the Mefarshim agree, is that we're talking about three cases of nails. And one case is the Masmer of the Shulchani. So the Masmer of the Shulchani is either the nail, like the Rambam learns, that he puts it into a hole and he hangs up a scale in order to weigh the coins, because he has to make sure that the metallic content of the coin is correct. Otherwise, he has to deduct a certain amount of value from the coins. Others learn that it's talking about the Shulchani has usually a treis, a metal treis that he takes off of the window, bends forward, puts a nail in it to hold it to a leg, and that becomes his counter. And then people come forward. That's when the bank used to be one of these little huts, you know, with a little thing in front, where now they sell hot dogs. Well, you could start with hot dogs and end up with a building in Manhattan. But anyway, that was the story of the bankers. So that was the first nail. The other one is an Aron shel Grusot. An Aron shel Grusot is where people who are selling flour that is made out of ground kidneyot, and they do a lot of work in grinding this up, and it gets to be quite heavy, and then it's basically the back of a 18-wheeler. They fill it up first, and then they back the truck up on it, and then you know when you attach the truck to the back, you put in that heavy nail. Of course, nowadays it's more than a nail, but in those days it was a nail that held the load to the truck in front, which they would then be able to move it. Otherwise, it was too heavy to move. So that was also a nail. And the other nail that we're talking about was a Masmer shel Even Sha'ot. That's a nail that you put into a sundial. So they had a permanent stone that was in a location where if you put the nail into it, it would show you the correct time of the day for that period. And that was also a portable nail, and that was the type of a sundial. Fine. So the question over here is that nail considered to be an actual kli or not? Okay, so that's the question again. It doesn't seem to be a general question about a nail, because, I mean, obviously, if the nail is actually a kli, it doesn't have to have a base kibble if it's a kli matechet, and a nail is a kli matechet. So Reb Tzadok holds, fine, so this is a kli like any other kli. Masha Enkin, the Chachamim hold that the nail in the case of the words holding something else to something else, it's bottle to that thing. So unless the thing itself that is bottled too, like the tris, would be mekabel tuma, or like the big box of the grisim would be mekabel tuma, and usually it can't be mekabel tuma because it's too large of a wooden box to be mekabel tuma, so it's bottled to that, and it would not be able to actually be mekabel tuma at all, therefore, because itself it's not considered to be a separate kli. And as part of a sundial, it itself is really not shayach for it to be mekabel tuma on its own, and the rock that it's put into can't be mekabel tuma. So the mela, it's not considered to be, according to the Chachamim, it's not considered to be a kli on its own. Mashenken, according to a tzaddik, it is considered to be a kli. Again, according to this pshat, there would be different svoras in each one of them, because, again, it depends how you learn the nail is. That's why the Rambam learns that in order to explain Rav Tzaddik, it's talking about it's part of the scale. So even though it's put into the wall, it's considered to be a chelik of the scale, and mamela it's kabel tuma. And Rav Tzaddik, in the other case of the grisim, he holds that since sometimes you have to move the box in order to fix the box if it gets broken, and there you don't use wheels on it, so that would mean that it is also considered to be a kli that is mitaltel maliverekam, and therefore it's mekabel tuma. And so the nail can be mekabel tuma. And according to Rav Tzaddik, the nail is essentially what tells the time, and so therefore it's a kli that people use. Hashinken dechachomim hold. A shadow, the nail doesn't tell the time, it creates a shadow, and therefore it's not really a kli. Okay, again, depending on how you understand the various cases, the svaras of Rav Tzaddik and the chachomim are adjusted accordingly by the different shitas. Now, we now get to, again, machlokas, and these are all, the next mishnayos are all machlokas in about Kabbalah Stuma, and they're all machlokas in between the Chachomim and Rebbe Gamliel, and we had this mishnah in Kalim, and this first case is Arba'a Dvarim. So I say again, it's the 4 and 3. Arba'a Dvarim, Rebbe Gamliel mitamei, v'chachomim mitaharim. So number one is the kisui teni shel matachot shel balei batim. So now the kisui v'teni, a teni is actually, I wonder what you call it in English. It's you know what they use in hospitals when they have these portable, chest with a, you know, drawer in it where they have the medical things and you can open it up, and on top they have all types of, you know, alcohol, bandages, and so on. I forget what it's called though. And if anybody can remind me, I'd appreciate it. But anyway, that's called the teni. So in a home, obviously, it's just something that's used as a cabinet. You don't put alcohol, bandages, hypodermic needles, and so on top of it. And therefore, the cover is not considered to be a kli on its own because it's not used. It's only a cover. And since the cover is not put things in, even though it's made in a way that can hold things, it's never used to hold things, in which case it's not really a kli. And that's why it calls it Balei Batim, because there, remember, we learned about the din of, also in the same, in Kalim, we also learn about a hospital teni, where the hospital teni is always filled with various medical instruments and bandages and so on top. So the hospital teni is considered to be a kisui that is mekabel tuma because it's always used on top as well. So that was...
What? A service coat.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, something like that. Next case, that's case number one. Next case is the Tlui Hamagradot. So get ready for Barnea to come in. This is a Megaredet. Megaredet is that famous Roman, very popular tool which is used as a scraper. So it's a back scraper, a skin scraper. And then there would be a tului for the megaradot. They would have a special kind of round thing attached to the wall of metal in which you could put the scraper in, and then it could be taken right out. So it was like a hook. And that, according to the Chachamim, is just like a nail. It's not part of anything that really holds things. Mashenken, I'll leave it to Rebbe Gamliel. He held it was tameh because it's made in a particular tzura that holds the scrapers. Come on, Barnea. You can't tell me you're going to be quiet.
Strigel.
There we are. The strigel is the scraper, but what's the tului of the scraper? Ha, that's the challenge. Barnea will be back shortly with further information. He's still busy with the Amida Hashemesh and the Areach. It's been a busy day for Barnea, so we'll give him some extra time. Gome kli matachot. The next case of machlokes between Reb Gamliel and the Chachamim is where you have metal things that are not yet completely finished. So the finishing are just finishing touches. Reb Gamliel holds that the moment that a kli becomes usable as is, and it's a chosh of a kli of metal, the fact that it may not be polished, or it may not have the manufacturer's little name on it, and so on, that doesn't change the suitability to be called a kli, even though you intend to continue to do work with it before you'll deliver it to the buyer, but it's still usable. And therefore, it's considered to be a kli. The Chachamim say a kli is by definition something that is totally finished. And the fourth case is a tabla, shenechlaka l'shnayim. So suppose you have a tablet, which is essentially a tray, but this is made out of cheres. So remember, a cheres that breaks is considered to be tahar. How about this tabla? It's not just a flat tabla. It has a rim. And therefore, as we learned, that's makabel tuma because it's considered to have a base kibbel. And it splits right down the middle. So now the question is that considered to be broken? Because, I mean, you don't have a rove that broke. So if they're the same and they're both essentially what they were, they're just missing only half, it's still able to hold things, it would still be tummy. So Reb Gamliel holds that actually both of them are considered to be tummy, because essentially there's no case, says Reb Gamliel, there's no case that it would be possible to be split exactly in half, right? I mean, like, what are we talking about? You know, you're measuring it with what? A kli cheres exactly in half? Exactly. How do you measure a kli cheres exactly in half? So obviously one piece is bigger than the other piece, right? Now the piece that's bigger is considered to still be the rove, and therefore it's not broken. But I don't know which one is the rove. So we treat them the same, and both of them are considered to be a tuma, because look, to us, it looks the same, and therefore neither of them is batal. Masha Enkein, according to the Chachamim, they say, look, efshar l'tzamtzem, it looks like half. That's how we measure half. Looks like half, fine. So that means you don't have a rove, and neither of these is a rove, and because of that, it is tohar, both of them. But the Chachamim are meida, that if one piece is bigger and one piece is smaller, over there, of course, that the big piece is still considered to be mekabel tuma. So meidim chachamim l'Reb Gamliel b'tabla shenechlaka l'shnayim, where one piece looks larger and one piece looks smaller, there hagadol tamei v'hakatan tahor. Perek Gimel Mishnah Dalet. Now we're back to the three. There were shloisha dvarim that Reb Gamliel was machmir like divrei Beit Shammai. Now obviously this Reb Gamliel cannot possibly be the Reb Gamliel Hazaken, because then he lived before Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. So it's got to be referring to the later Reb Gamliel, who was a grandchild of Hillel. And he paskened nonetheless in three things like Beit Shammai and not like Beit Hillel, even though he was from Beit Hillel. What are those three things? These are all things that are in the Mishnah that we had in Beitza that has to do with the dinim of Yontov, and that was, Ein tomnim et achamim miyom tov l'shabbat. So remember, this has to do with the concept of an Eruv Tavshilin. So it says in the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah of the second parak in Beitza, says that if a Yontov is chal on Erev Shabbos, you're not allowed to be cooking from Yom Tov l'Shabbos. But you can cook for Yom Tov. And if there's something left over, you can use that and on Shabbos. And then it says, v'semech alav l'Shabbos. So if you added before, you can actually be semech on that extra bit that was more than was needed for the Yontev and say that you're adding to that, and that's what's called an Erev Tavshilin. Now, the Machlokas continues over there in that Gemara, where Beit Shammai says the Erev Tavshilin is specific to what it is that you're going to be doing. So let's say you want to bake on Yontev, then you need an Erev Tavshilin of baking. You want to cook on Yontev, you need an Erev Tavshilin of something that you boiled. You want to do hatmana and put something into a container and rags that are going to keep it warm, you can make a special Erev Tavshilin for hatmana, Erev Matmini. So there's no one thing called an Erev Tavshilin. There's an Erev, and you have to decide what kind of Erev you're going to be making. And therefore, Beit Shammai says, Ein oifin elin ken yirev bepat. And ein mevashlin elim yirev betavsh. And ein tomnim elim yirev betatmana. So that, Rabbi Gamliel, was machmir. And he puts it this way. It doesn't mean you can't be tomnim chamin for yantav l'shabbos. It means unless you made an Erev for hatmana, an Erev tavshilin doesn't allow you to do hatmana. Next machlokas. There's also a machlokas in Beitza about a menorah shel chuliot. And you'll remember, we've spoken about a menorah shel chuliot. That means a menorah that you put together one piece, sticks into the next piece. A lot of people have actual leichter like this today. I actually have one in my own house where you add pieces depending on how tall you want the menorah to be or how many neros you want to stick in there. That's called a menorah shel chuliot. So the question is, according to Beit Shammai, you're not allowed to build that on Yontev because he holds that yesh binyan bekelin. Beis Hillel holds ein binyan bekelin, and therefore there's no gezera that it's doima lebinyan. And he, Rebbe Gamliel, was machmer like Beit Shammai not to put together the leichter that can be assembled from pieces. The next machokas that we have is Ein ofin pitin geritzim ela rikikin. Beit Shammai holds that you're not allowed to bake a lot of pot or very large pot. You have to make just thin pot, which is not a lot of trouble to bake, and you don't have to make a lot of it, and you do the absolute minimum kind of tircha on yantiv, because you don't gain anything by making a whole oven full. And that's how he paskin. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, says it's not true. A pot nefet yafeh yoter. He holds that the more pot that you have, the better the results are in the baking because it smooths out the temperature differences in the oven. And therefore, it's part of the way in which you get the most of your lachem for the yantiv. Omer Rabbi Gamliel, Mimeim shel Beit Abba. Well, I can tell you that I saw this in my own home of my father, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, in his house, they never were ofim pitim gritzim ela rikikin, like I say. So the Chachamim said, well, you know, you come from a house of very firm people. You know, what are we supposed to do about that? Mana sele beit avicha. They didn't hold that that was the din. They were just very machmer on themselves. If you would have asked Reb Shimon ben Gamliel what he holds halacha lemaisa, he would have told you he holds like Beis Hillel. So mana sele beit avicha shayu machmirin al atzmam, but they were mekilim al Yisroel liyot ofim pitim gritzim v'chori. They didn't care how difficult it was. It could be big. It could even be chorim on top of coals, which are, maybe that's what you want to eat, even though that's difficult to bake. It doesn't matter. It could be very large, even if it doesn't fit into a tanur and has to be baked on the chorim. It still would be mutter. That's how they paskin. So you may think that you're following your father, but you're not. That was your father's personal chumrah, and it is not the halacha. Okay, Rabosai, hope to see you, Bezrat Hashem, for Zocha later on today. Thank you very much for participating in my learning Al Ivei Nishmas of Avimei Shmuel Yaakov Ben Rabbi Yitzchak Matisyo. Kol Tov.